If everyone would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I knew that was going to rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I would like to welcome. I think we're having an issue tonight. We're going to have to call in code enforcement here. No. I'd like to welcome everyone. Before we get started, I think everyone has met my brother and sister-in-law. They're visiting from Minnesota, and they're in the northern part. And they're looking to start a neighborhood watch. And what better place to come than right here, right?
Charlotte's the master.
That's right.
So anyway, we do have Pat. You have not been here for a while. You want to reintroduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Pat Warrens. I live right up the street on the other side. And I haven't been here in a while. I'm glad to be back.
Thank you for coming. Okay. I think all the rest of us are regulars, correct? Raise your hand if you're new. Our sergeant will introduce him shortly. Renata, thank you for the cookies. Appreciate it. I've put down a few updates, and there aren't handouts for everybody. I'm trying to go a little bit green. So if you can please take your agenda home and look at it and mark your calendars and so forth and so on, I'd appreciate it. But the first one has to deal with the Senior Citizen Bureau activities. There are some flyers out there where there's activities occurring down the road. So if you're a senior and you wish to become involved in that, please pick them up before you go out. But the one I did want to point out to you is the Senior Action Fair, and it's protecting yourself against fraud and abuse. It's this Friday, March 15th from 9 to 12 at the Nakoka Community Center. And if you're a senior, you can order a sack lunch. Hello.
What age do you have?
What's going on?
Yeah. Ooh,
you know, I do not. I think it's 60.
Is it the president again?
Luke.
UN Security Council?
I think it's 60. Okay. And if you do intend to go and want a sack lunch, you can call the number on here, 310-217-9552. Mark, are you aware of this? Is the police department involved in it at all?
He's on the phone with the president.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
he wants his advice on North Korea.
I think the earthquake has jarred all of you.
It's the weather.
You're acting silly. But anyway, probably last year sometime, the Torrance Police Department put on a very similar senior action fair regarding fraud and how to be careful and scams and so forth and so on, and they had an excellent turnout. The questions did not stop and the stories did not stop of what had personally happened to them. So if you have a great opportunity to do this, I think it would be a great thing to do. And also encourage your neighbors to go, especially if they are elderly and could, you know, how we are so trustworthy. So they might learn quite a bit from that. Then on Saturday, March 16th, there's the Household Hazardous Waste and E-Waste at Northrop Grumman.
Yeah.
Okay, which is right, aviation and marine. And I won't say too much more about this. Coffee with a Cop is also on Saturday from 8 to 10 at the McDonald's here on Redondo Beach Boulevard. I've been to two of them so far in different areas of Gardena, and they really have been fairly well attended, and all the police officers that are available, usually rotate and come out and answer questions of citizens, and it's a real, real good opportunity to, you know, get to know the officers that are out there. So that's in District 2 here, so.
And I'll be there.
Then, next Tuesday, next Tuesday is the city council meeting, and I believe that's when they will be, I probably shouldn't say, we all went to the polls and we voted. They just completed certifying all of the signatures of the absentee ballots, just finished. And so now tomorrow they will start counting, and nothing will be released until, I'm assuming, until the city council meeting. There might be something that comes out in the paper. I'm not certain. But if I learn any more, I'll certainly let you know. Okay. And there are a couple of positions that are fairly close.
Yeah.
So as of now, Mayor Tanaka is mayor. City council is Tasha Serta, who is an incumbent, mm-hmm. and Terry Tedeucci. And I believe, and then the city clerk, that's a very tight race also,
mm-hmm.
between the three of them. And of course the treasurer was unopposed. All right. And one final thing, those of you who have children or grandchildren, there's the Easter Bunny Brunch at the Nakoka Community Center on March 30th. Any questions of me at this point in time? I do want to ask one question of you. Of those of you who did go to the polls, did you have any issues with your voting place? I'm on the voter advisory board, and we like to pull issues together if there are and correct them.
What's
Joy?
It's not an issue, it's just a comment.
Mm-hmm.
It could have had a little bit more signage besides
good.
One little flag at Sarah. I was like walking around the whole school. The kids didn't know where it was.
Yep.
So it was, you know.
Understandably so. What I did during the daytime is I tried to get to all of the voting sites just to observe. And bring back any issues that we might be able to correct before the next election. And that was one of my big ones. I think we should invest in big banners that say vote here. You can use them, you know, election after election. Stuart.
Same place, same complaint basically. They gave us the address and I put a link to it on the webpage for the map and it comes out on Venice Street, and they have these tiny little signs. So I parked and I'm looking and I talked to a teacher. I don't know anything about it. I talked to another teacher. We don't know anything where it's at. And then finally I noticed these little signs.
Right.
So something needs to either give a different address next time, but it's over on Marine, the entrance there.
Yeah, you can't enter through Venice. It's an exit only. I didn't know that
right.
either.
Right.
Got it.
Right. I saw that issue also, and that's probably the only, well, no, that's not. Raleigh Park basically is an entrance and an exit, and they didn't even have a sign at the entrance. So, to me, that is a big issue. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We voted up here at Sarah High.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, came in the wrong entrance off of Van Ness.
Right, the exit.
And then I kept looking for the auditorium or whatever it's called. The wind had blown the flag sideways. You couldn't see it unless you were, you know, right there. Asked the students, helped us, no problem.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
very helpful on the inside. Very
okay.
Helpful.
The poll workers were polite.
Oh,
inspectors
yeah.
were polite. Okay.
I mean, the kids were polite. They just didn't know
yeah.
where it was.
But you know, that,
but
that
they were willing to help,
that's
so.
A good thing to know, because I can ask them over there at the office to make an announcement, you know, even the day before and the morning of. They get questions, but they should be in class after 8 o'clock, so they wouldn't be available. But I know I saw them peeking in too to see what was going on. And we had a lot of other signage.
I have a question. Are the voting booths divided between Republicans and Democrats? And
no.
Because they had six booths, but they would only let us use three of them. And
that was probably because of the precincts.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There, some had three precincts okay. in a polling location, and others had just two.
And there wasn't any privacy between the three. I mean, people, if you looked over, you'd see what anybody was voting for on your left or your right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other issues, concerns, questions? Mail-ins?
Mine just got counted.
Okay.
I thought it was confusing because they call it auditorium, and I'm thinking big building. That looked just like a regular classroom, so that could have been a confusing thing, too. So.
Yeah.
The look of it, the outside and inside.
Well, I think the signage is what makes a big difference, if it's small or large, you know. But I still believe that the big tarp is saying vote here. And, you know, if we use that school again, you've got an arrow that goes that way. And I know Sarah has a difficult time with people coming in the wrong entrance.
Yes.
Or coming in the exit.
Yeah.
I lived through it for 4 years.
And if a car is exiting, you're trying to get in, you're backing everybody up. And
yeah, so anyway, if there are no other concerns about that, I will introduce Sergeant Heitmeyer. He is with the Traffic Bureau here, and I don't know where Lieutenant, did he disappear again?
That's right.
Okay, so I'm going to have you be a little bit more explicit about how long you've been with the department and so forth.
Oh, wow. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having
Hello.
Me.
Welcome.
I've been before, but it's been a few years. I don't often get out to these types of events, unfortunately, because of my current assignment, but I am currently the traffic supervisor. It's a small unit. I have myself, one full-time investigator that primarily focuses on traffic accident investigation. It could be everything from hit and runs to injury accidents to fatal investigations. Then I have another investigator whose primary responsibility is all our grant management stuff. So, and my job encompasses all that, everything that comes in from traffic complaints to parking sites. I have a number of personnel that are involved just in the clerical side on that. I have a part-time statistician that we use for grants, and I'll explain more about that in a minute. But it's a very busy position. It's not the most interesting. We do a lot of office work, and then we also manage the grants, which is a big part and really important for the city of Gardena. We manage close to $1 million worth of state/federal money that comes in through our city. One part of it, a big chunk of it, does not necessarily stay within the city. We manage Western LA County for DUI enforcement. And so many of the stuff that you see when you see officers, maybe you might be in a different city and you see Gardena officers in this city or an officer from another city in ours, it's paid for through the Office of Traffic Safety. We are the middleman, meaning we manage all that. There's everything from checkpoints to what are called court stings, where we go make sure people whose licenses are suspended, that they don't leave court and get in a car and drive. There's also warrant details where we go out and arrest people that have warrants for drunk driving and stuff like that. And then we go out on nights where we go out as a task force and to deter people from drinking and driving, and then checkpoints. So that's a big part. We have two other grants that focus just within our city. One is for checkpoints only. This fiscal year, it runs on a federal fiscal year from October to September. We have 14 checkpoints that are fully funded by the state, which is a lot of money. Most cities, including our own, couldn't afford to run checkpoints without grant funding. The state believes that it is a deterrent to people drinking and driving, and that's what we hope, is that we make it safer in our city and the surrounding areas. We have a lot of pass-through traffic because of our proximity to the freeways and major thoroughfares going from the west to the east back towards the freeways. And then, of course, people that, you know, just make a bad choice and they've been drinking and driving. And then we have another grant that covers DUI enforcement and traffic enforcement, primarily focused on things like distracted driving or the actual causes of most of our traffic collisions, which is right-of-way violations, meaning that people didn't yield the right-of-way properly or made a left when it says right turn only, or, you know, when they're coming out of a driveway or something like that. So it's a lot of work. That's a big part of what we do. It significantly enhances the safety of drivers in our city. Without that funding, we have motor officers and traffic officers that are dedicated just to do that, but without that funding, we would lose a significant portion of our enforcement. And so we really work hard not only to do a good job and to take it seriously when we're out there working those details, but we also encourage our officers to do that on a daily basis, not just the ones that are grant funded, but the other officers that are out there to try to take care of complaint problems, issues that people are having within their neighborhoods and stuff like that. So it's not just about, oh, we have grant money to focus on this, but it really is about enhancing safety. People don't like to get tickets. Believe me, I was, before my assignment in this, I was never a traffic officer. That's not high on my list. It's kind of one of those things that, you know, can bring bad feelings between the regular public and the regular people out there, because everybody wants to say, hey, what about the bad guys? How come you're not out there arresting the bad guys or doing something else? But our number one complaint for a lot of things within the department is traffic related. It's people speeding, people making wrong turns, people causing accidents, people driving without licenses are probably some of the biggest complaints we get. So we have to balance it. We do, anybody can look at the numbers on the OTS website and see that we have a significant amount of crashes. You know, when you compare it to our population, and then there's another comparison to the amount of roadways that you have, we're high up on the list, even with the enforcement that we have. And we do, out of 103 cities in the state that are banned at all, they have similar demographics, meaning population and roadway. We are probably number one in enforcement and DUI out of 103. We're always in the top five. So we work hard to do that, and it's not just about the numbers, but they want to see that their money is spent effectively. We have to do many, many reports quarterly, annually. We have to attend lots of training. So it's a big part of our job, and the Traffic Bureau is managing those grants and making sure that things are being taken care of, and then managing all of our traffic collisions and the information there. So there's a lot of paper. We're not very green. We go through a lot of paper and reports. A lot of it is electronically reported, but most of the time it boils down to where the pen hits the paper, and that's where we're at. So when you call, if you're trying to call me, I can be difficult to get a hold of, but if you call me and you have a specific traffic thing that patrol can't get ahead of, I'll get back to you, and I will try to do what I can as far as directing some of our police officers to go over there and do some enforcement. I can't guarantee it, nor can I say they're going to stay there for a period of time, but we are looking at acquiring a new radar trailer. We asked for it to be funded through a grant. It's one of those trailers that shows, you know, the speed that you're going. We think that it's a good deterrent. It's a good visible thing. We can place it anywhere. We had some in years past, but they've outlived their usefulness. They're like any electronic item you buy, like a laptop or anything, after, you know, so many years, it's really not cost effective to try to revive them. So we're looking at purchasing a new one, hopefully with grant funds, and if not, the chief has made a commitment, if we can't get it grant funded, to pay for it out of maybe some other asset forfeiture funds or something that can only be spent on equipment, because they're expensive. But we're looking at those things. We currently have two motors. We're considering adding a commercial enforcement officer that's going to primarily concentrate on commercial enforcement. We have a lot of truck traffic in our city that puts a lot of wear and tear on the roadways. You know, on road, if you travel down Rosecrans or Redondo or El Segundo or any of those major thoroughfares during the time of day, we have a lot of truck traffic. Making sure that those are in compliance with state laws and not driving on the regular streets when they shouldn't be. In the residential areas, if they're not doing deliveries, they're not supposed to cut through. It is a specialty, and it doesn't mean that person wouldn't enforce other traffic. I look at it as gaining another traffic enforcement person. Yes, they're going to look at commercial enforcement as a primary thing, but they're also going to be out there enforcing all traffic laws. So that would add another piece to our team as far as getting out there and actually doing proactive traffic enforcement. That's it in a nutshell. We've recently moved. Our office was for years housed over in City Hall because we just didn't have any space over there. We had both our clerical personnel over there that handle all the parking sites and stuff like that. and us, and we recently moved back to the police department just a few weeks ago, and our clerical staff is supposed to move back this week. So in hopefully by the beginning of next week, a person that comes for anything to the police department will go to the front lobby, and there will be, they already cut a window in a wall, an existing wall there, and moved an office around, and so it'll be a one-stop shop, which we think is a big improvement for customer service for us. And again, it's not a happy thing. Most people that are calling me, it's not, you know, something they're excited about. It's a parking ticket, a moving violation, or a traffic accident. It's not happy stuff, but it's, you know, it has to be done. It's one of those things that, you know, I wish everybody would just agree to follow the rules, and, you know, if they get caught, I'm caught, but it's, you know, it's not there. It's not something I enjoy, to be honest with you, but it is. I realize the necessity of traffic enforcement and making sure that people follow the rules. So, any questions?
How much time is spent at our schools with traffic enforcement?
That, from what I understand, although I am the traffic bureau supervisor, both the nighttime traffic cars, there is a car on every shift or a motorcycle that's dedicated towards traffic enforcement and or traffic accident reporting. Now, just because there's one person there doesn't mean that that person doesn't work directly for me. I manage them from a distance, meaning if I need them on special details or some directed enforcement, I give it to them. But their patrol supervisor, from what I understand, is they try to assign people to go to schools every day. Doesn't mean they're at every school every day, and it is subject to other calls. So it's one of those things where they, hey, assign, please try to get out to the school during this period of time at this school today. And if the stars align themselves, they will be there. And it's not like a we don't want to be there thing, but it really has to be one of those things where we try to hit, you know, a number of schools depending on what the complaint is or what's going on. If you have a specific problem or a persistent problem that doesn't seem to be getting addressed, please call me and I can kind of push it that way, but realize that every school that we have, I mean, most of these schools were built many, many years ago without consideration for parking and the neighborhoods, without consideration for drop-off traffic and everything else. They're all pretty impacted. And so I don't know of a school that doesn't have a complaint about that. And do I wish it could be better? Yeah, there's some schools that have resorted to almost like a, you know, designating some a drop-off area and other things. We can work with the school to try to coordinate some of those things. And much of it boils down to staffing, you know, trying to get a staff member out there to actually coordinate drop-offs, or they may not even have the physical space to do it. It's difficult. But if there's, you know, if somebody has an idea for a solution, I don't think anybody's, you know, turning their hand to them and saying, go away. It's just, you know, sometimes some things are doable and some things aren't, especially when none of these schools, you know, the schools all belong to the LA Unified School District, and so we can recommend and ask for all we want, and if they really aren't hearing us, then we're kind of stuck to a certain degree. That's actually LA city property that those schools are on, and many times even a few feet surrounding it, and they're pretty autonomous, if you know what I mean, when it comes to trying to force them to do something. We really don't have the teeth. We can get out there and write tickets.
Gardena. I don't know. We parents just think we're so privileged for our child. We can drop our child off and don't have to, you know,
yeah,
pay attention to the rules.
It's tough because everybody wants to get their child close, but sometimes it creates a dangerous situation when they're doing drop-offs next to crosswalks and creates visibility problems and people double parking. It really creates for a hectic atmosphere. And it is difficult. And to top it all off, nobody wants to see a patrol car in the rearview mirror with some guy coming up with a ticket, whether it's a parking ticket or a moving violation. And it's very stressful. I tell you, we probably get more complaints out of schools than anything else. And like I said, there's probably not one school in the city that I can think of that is immune from that, you know, as far as the public schools. Some of the private schools, their lots are set up a little bit different where they can do drop-offs, but you know, I know most of the schools are trying to alleviate it. They're just, you know, some of them haven't come up with a good solution yet. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Sir?
How strict are you with people texting and driving and talking and driving?
That's a good question. April is actually National Awareness Month. We are specifically funded to do quite a few operations during that month. And I tell you, you know what, there are people that can probably talk and drive just fine. There are people that can probably do that, but I've seen many more people. I'm not condoning it. I'm saying there are people that can probably do it, but we've all seen those people that just can't do it. They can't do two things at the same time, and it can be very dangerous. There is a new law that was added that allows you to push a button to do things like navigation and stuff like that, because they think it's similar. So there's actually an exception there that for people to do that. But it's during the month of April. I guarantee you it's going to be very strict out there. And that is one of the things that not only a national campaign, but a state campaign. I just received the marching orders today. And again, that's who funds most of these enforcement campaigns, is the state. They realize that, okay, you know what, as many tickets as officers write just on their own, they want to make a significant impact, not in people's pocketbooks, but in their education. There's an education campaign out there. They realize that, you know what, we're not going to get everybody, but if you see me stopping somebody and they hear about people getting stopped and we put something in the newspaper, people are going to find a different way to do business, hopefully not just during that month, hopefully all the time that they drive, that they can wait a few minutes, that they can pull over somewhere, that they can wait till they're stopped in their car and safely do it. It's very dangerous. I mean, it's just as dangerous as you know what, just closing your eyes and for a minute. I mean, the time it takes to look down here, you know, it can easily, a child can run out in front of you. Somebody cross the street, another car stop or anything like that. And it's very serious. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to live with that on their conscience, as far as, you know, I mean, you may not be drunk driving, but if you look down and you killed somebody or really hurt them, it's very dangerous.
I didn't have an accident my whole life. In the last 10 years, I've had three. Twice, coming home from work, going to work, stopped at a stoplight, just ran from behind. And the third time, guy just was hitting my girlfriend in the side, spun us three times, didn't even see us. Yeah. Everybody's using those phones, it's dangerous.
Were they on the phone? Yeah. Did you say they're on the phone, Stuart?
Yeah, it is, it's
scary.
Very dangerous.
You can be the best driver in the world, but I'm just sitting there at a stoplight, three, four, 5 seconds. You know, I'm waiting, also bang. Mm. Nothing you can do about it.
No. There really isn't. The only thing you can do is spread the word and encourage people if you see them doing it, not to do it.
I do have one more follow-up question.
Sure.
I'm a ham radio operator. We do emergency communication stuff. So sometimes we have our HD, our handy talkies, and we're talking in the car. Or we have a mobile. Like, I don't know if you guys still have mobiles with the microphone, but to my knowledge, that's not illegal. But how will the police officers handle that?
We very rarely see that. I think you're probably not, you know what I mean? If a police officer saw you talking on something and thought of it and came up and saw it, you know, it was a CB radio or shortwave radio or ham radio, I don't think that the, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think that the intent of the law was that as much. I'm not saying that somebody couldn't write a ticket for that. I'd have to look at the exact verbiage, because it talks about electronic communication devices, but I don't think that's in the definition of the electronic communications devices. So I don't think you're going to run into that problem most of the time.
I don't think we've had anybody issued a ticket in California yet where there was a legal challenge. So
I don't believe it's in the description of the electronic communications devices, but it's really meant, you know, for people that are doing this, because you can talk on a speakerphone or something like that. It's a little bit different. But it's again one of those things. Some people, like I said, they can multitask and drive, or they think they can.
Yeah,
but it's a distraction from what's ahead of you, and I think that's where the intent of the law is really going. Is when you're driving, they want you focusing that way. It doesn't mean you can't listen to the radio, but some people can't listen to the radio and drive very well either. So much less talk on one.
What's the fine?
I don't want to get quoted on the fine, but I think it's in, because you have a base fine and each court, you know, the counties have a thing. I want to say it runs in the neighborhood of $150, if I'm not mistaken.
And the city gets how much of that?
If the person pays the fine, I think they get 80% of the base fine. So many times, the like, I'll tell you, a red light ticket I know is, by the time you're done with all the stuff, is $480, but the base fine is only $100, and there's 330% or so of penalties, assessment, court fees, and stuff. So if you talk about a $480 ticket, but the base fine is $100, and the city gets $80 of it, so out of 480, the city would get 80, and the courts get the rest of it. So the courts and the state. So that's pretty much the same with all tickets, is we get a percentage of the base fine, but not the courts have added, you know, I mean, that's why tickets are, you know, outrageous. You know, I'm to be honest with you, it's quite a deterrent to me and many people, and it's unfortunate that, you know, a ticket is that much, but mm-hmm. that's the society where we live. Yes, ma'am?
A drunk driving ticket, I've heard that it can go up to $10,000 once all the court fees, mm-hmm. just the shame alone, being put in jail for drunk driving on all that, and your lawyer costs and everything else. I heard it was $10,000. That would be a deterrent. They need to put that out on the billboard somewhere.
They have been. There's
billboards
there,
that says about
yeah.
it cost you $10,000. Or oh,
yes.
I didn't,
yeah, actually, there was a... Actually, that's an older estimate. The estimate is now 15,000. I just got some new literature. In LA County, LA County is one of the, I was going to look for a picture I had, it was pretty neat, but in LA County is one of the counties that now on a first time driving offense, you have to have an ignition interlock, which you have to blow in, you have to pay to have it installed, which is a couple $100. You have to pay the monthly fee, which I think is around $60 a month, to have this device in your car. To be able to start your car, you have to know alcohol in your system to be able to start it. And then it randomly, anywhere between 2 and 30 minutes, will make you blow. Even while you're driving, it'll give you a few minutes, but you have to blow into it to keep your car running. And that's in LA County, so add that onto the cost. And if you drive a car without it, it's a separate misdemeanor offense. So not every county has that, but LA County does. And I think that the state is looking at it. Again, that is not meant to be a punitive cost, but it is a way, and it is, if you're forced to have that in your car, mm-hmm. You can't drive the car without it. Now, we have had people that had somebody sober blow into it, and then they drove, and then when that person wasn't with them, their car stalled. Yeah, and it is a separate misdemeanor, but I think it's one of those things. But again, it is costly. So when you talk about the total cost of, you know, your time in jail, time lost from your job, you know, you can lose your license for a period of time, all the fees mm-hmm. with courts if you do hire a lawyer, the cost in your insurance for probably 7 to 10 years because it stays on your record for that long, it's probably easily in the $15,000 range. Okay. So, sir?
We need something like this for the cell phone abusers.
Well, believe it or not, you know, there's talk of technology in the car to prevent cell phone signals from going out and stuff like that. You know, I think people don't want to go there because of emergencies and stuff like that. But, you know, I think eventually it'll be where it'll be much easier than it currently is to have your phone integrated into your car, and people won't even have to pick it up. But there is talk of stuff like that. It is distracting, but, you know, people need to make the conscious decisions for themselves and realize that things we do impact other people, not just ourselves. So.
I see so many people with cell phones, and it's like, I think, like he says, why don't they get caught? And in some cities, I've seen signs around, and there'll be like a word or a number, and then hero, and people report cell phone users. Just call in the license plate number.
It's very difficult.
Have you seen that around here?
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that around here. I think one of the most difficult things is trying to report something on the move. You can literally move from our city to the next and across town in 2 minutes, you know, if you're lucky with the lights. And to clog up, you know, probably 911 lines or something else, or try to direct people. I live in Orange County, so I drive the freeway. I see drunk drivers all the time, and I'll call it in. And by the time I'm done calling it in, they've gone from LA County to Orange County. I watched somebody in an accident before, and you know, they called me 20 minutes later saying, okay, where are they? I'm like, you know, I'm long gone. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. I think that, you know, some
they
of the...
In other words, you're saying they don't get a letter sent to them or a bill that you were reported?
Well...
They'd have to prove it.
One, I think as an education campaign maybe, but it's very costly because somebody with the right to know is going to have to look up the license plate, find the registered owner, generate a letter to them, and send a letter to them saying, hey, somebody saw you with this. Oh, what if it was, you know? Yes, it is, and it's, you know,
and then they say, I don't care.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there was a small percentage of the population that would go, ooh, okay, you know, I shouldn't do that anymore. Yeah. But maybe the amount of time and money that's spent doing that would probably be best saying, hey, officers, go out there and do some enforcement.
I saw a truck driver with it.
It happens.
With the phone, and I did this, and he saw me, and he shook and put it down.
Yeah, it's tough to break people of that habit. We live in a society now where people want to communicate with one another very quickly, and it's difficult. UPS asked us to come to one of their safety fairs just recently to, because they have their tablets where they scan their packages, but it can also be used for sending text messages to and from their hub for distribution instructions. And they asked us to come there. They already have a company policy, but they wanted us to hammer it home to their drivers that, hey, you should not be sending messages or reading messages while you are driving. Right. So it's important for everybody.
And I know they have those billboards that say report drunk drivers. And now you're going to break the law by having your cell phone calling in. I could get 911 on my cell phone driving and try to report a driver's a license plate.
Right.
Now, I've heard of cases where somebody's pulled over into their driveway and they give them a ticket while they're in their driveway. The police have followed them
for
home.
Drunk driving?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
After calls have been going in.
Correct. It can sometimes, like, if somebody reports the license plate number, many times we'll see, you know, we can run the plate, see where they live, maybe anticipate if they live in an outside jurisdiction, we can forward the information to them. That's important. That's a significant, not that texting and driving isn't. I think I would probably draw the line at saying, you know, it's probably not the best idea to call 911 for people either talking on the phone or texting, unless, you know, maybe you think there's something more than just driving, you know, maybe they're drunk and they're talking on the phone and they're just, you know, they're driving erratically.
Driving,
yeah.
I'd have a hard time seeing the license and trying to get on my phone. And, yeah.
It's difficult, yeah. But you never know. You never know. I mean, the life you save can be somebody
that's
you know.
I'd say somebody's life.
So, mm-hmm. Anybody else?
What are the rules for earphones? Say for the phone or for music?
Headphones are prohibited, but many cell phones now, to be wireless, they do have one. You can't have them in both ears. Okay. So you can have it in one ear, not both ears. So, you know, it doesn't. Whatever ear is more comfortable for you, but I would say make sure you don't, because I see people all the time with it in two, and it is a violation of the law. The idea behind that, yes.
But one's okay.
Yes, one's okay because that would be part of like people with Bluetooth or, you know, many phones, they actually have a wired cable that you go and the speaker's there. The idea is that, you know, it may prohibit you from hearing emergency vehicles or some noises that are important. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, the idea is there. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to hear it because some people, even without headphones, have their music turned up so loud that they can't hear anything even without headphones. So that's a different story.
A couple of the businesses here in Gardena, I notice a lot of handicap parking abuse by looking at the people that the type of vehicle they drive, the person that comes out of the vehicle, they're far from being handicapped.
It's very difficult, I tell you. If you've seen some of these news exposés on TV and stuff like that. You know, it is a crime. Many times just in the information that we can ask, we can determine if they are the authorized person or they are the person who it's issued to because they have to carry registration. It looks just like a car registration and we can ask them to provide ID. But you'd be surprised. Many times people have disabilities that aren't very visible. Maybe they have a heart condition or something like that. And
sure.
It's not, I'm not saying there's not abuse, but it's very difficult. And when it comes to us, it's not that we're afraid to ask those questions. It's just a matter of, okay, you know, if you report it, is somebody going to find that person out there and go and catch them? There's a chance, you know, and we do. And we seize a number of those placards. An abuse can be a misdemeanor. Many times that's difficult to prosecute sometimes because they say, oh, my mom's in the store, you know what I mean? And they're going to drag it out. So many times what our officers do is they'll seize it, they'll write a little note, send it back to DMV, hang a ticket on their car, which is, I think, is about $350 or so. And that's pretty good punishment. But if the DMV finds that they're abusing it or somebody's placard is being misused, they can revoke their privilege too. But as I'm sure if you've seen any of those shows, DMV is not even, can't even ask them. If a doctor, once a doctor writes their note and is there, they can't go back and ask these people for, to explain their medical purpose.
Sure.
Because it's probably a law that has to do with people's privacy as far as their health conditions go.
But there's a step between that the person who has that card and it's supposedly using it on the window, they have to have a card in their billfold.
Correct. It's like a car registration.
Okay. Call it.
But if you got a fraudulent doctor to give you one, and you don't, nobody's ever gonna know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the problem.
A friend of mine, I parked with a friend who had a car.
Oh yeah.
And we forgot to put it in the window. And so there was a ticket for, I don't know, $200 or something. And so she went to court and showed that she had a card but forgot to use it.
Correct. There is a process in place for all parking. You have 21 days to appeal parking violations, and that's something along those lines. You don't necessarily have to go to court, but there is a lot of abuse out there. I tell you, I worked at El Camino College for a few years, and there was people all day long abusing those things. I can't tell you how many of those I seized and did that and actually prosecuted some people. It's prevalent in our society, unfortunately, that people don't care about the people that really need it.
Right.
And they're more worried about themselves and getting a good parking spot.
I've worked with a few people like that.
I say I regularly check certain locations for those handicapped parkers, all people. There's a couple of locations in general I'll go by like 4 or 5 times a night. I see a car there, I'll go check. A lot of them don't have a placard, so they're getting tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have one and kind of looks questionable, I just ask them, I say, hey, is this your placard? And you wouldn't be surprised how many times they say no. And that person's not with them. So they're getting cited and stuff. If there's a specific location you're having a problem with, let me know.
Home Depot, you probably heard about Home Depot.
Home Depot?
Yeah.
Fortunately, it's not in the city of Gardena.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not?
It's not in Gardena.
No, you're talking about the one off of 182nd
down
there?
Yeah.
It's on the other side of Vermont.
I check Ralph's.
That is crazy.
I'm sorry?
It's
where?
It's actually in the city of Los Angeles. East of Vermont is, although it uses a Gardena PO box, it's not actually within the city.
You do Target? I did see a lady in Target talking on her phone, telling her husband that she just got a ticket. At Target,
sometimes.
She pulled in and got a ticket. They took the placard. It was her husband's placard, and he wasn't with her.
Well, and that should be. That person should walk where she has to. That's her parking spot.
Yeah, she
open.
Did get caught.
I work with employees that work on their feet 9 hours a day, but they park in that handicap spot, and I watch them jog to the bus.
That's right.
Okay, now what? It's
tough. We can enforce. That's one of the things that we can enforce on private property, like in gated communities and shopping center parking lots and stuff like that. Many vehicle code sections aren't enforceable on private property, but fire lane violations and handicap violations are the ones that we can enforce. Other things like time limits or, you know, somebody blocked you in or something else like that. Most of the time is on the private property owner or the manager there to facilitate that, because it is private property, but those sections we can enforce. Any other questions?
Yeah, a couple times a year, somebody will leave a car on one of our corners. We're in the corner of 155th and Perchy, and we don't know the car, we don't know who left it. They just leave it, walk away, or get away, somebody else's car and drive away. And it'll be there 2-3 days, maybe a week. What's the policy? When should we call in, report it? How long will it stay there?
By law, you can't leave a car standing for more than 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Barring anything else. It's not stolen. It's got all its wheels and tires and windows and everything else like that. 72 hours. If you see a car there and if it's not within the parking district, is that
it's residential. Just
but it's, you don't need the permit, right?
No.
So if you notice it's not there, I mean, there's no need to wait because actually we can't start timing it until we mark it. Right. So even though you tell us, hey, it's been there 72 hours, doesn't mean that we can go out there and write it a ticket or tow. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that you have to call the minute they parked and left, but if you see it there and maybe you recognize it, hey, this car, you know what I mean, it's not from there.
But you don't recognize it, you've never seen it, you think it's been abandoned or maybe stolen.
Just call. Yeah, we'd be happy to, if there's any evidence of any of that, just call. The officer can come out, they can run it, see if it's stolen, they can check it out. And if you request that it be marked for 72 hours, then they'll also mark it. And then if you kind of keep track and say, okay, it's been 3 days and it hasn't moved, call back out. I called on this date and they came out and I'm calling back and they can actually tow it away.
Okay.
Steve, is this a one-time?
No, this happens a couple times a year. It's been
Wait, so you recognize the car?
No,
no. No, you don't recognize the car, but you recognize the car by the fact that it's been there and sat there for a long period of time.
Oh, right.
So maybe they're visiting the next time, you know.
Are we talking about me?
Yeah,
3 days.
No, we recently had this old red SUV. The guy parked in front of our house, sat in the vehicle for 3 hours. This is just this past week, and then walked halfway down 155th and stayed in that house for 4 days before coming back. It was just really weird.
I would encourage any time that you see something that's out of place. That's our job, is to check on those things. So, whether there's somebody in the car or not, if somebody's sitting in a car, I would call.
Yeah.
And just say, you know what, especially during the daytime, most of our residential burglaries occur during the daytime. Mm-hmm. And there's different methods. Not everybody's knocking on a door or doing something like that. We will respond priority-wise, so don't feel like you're bothering us. I mean, but at the same time, if we're not there right away, but if you call and say, hey, you know what, even after 1 hour, I don't recognize this guy from the neighborhood. I've been here a long time. I do not recognize him. Can you have somebody come by and check on him? That's all you got to say. And we will come by and check on him and see what's going on. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question back to the handicap. I live right on Marine, and we don't have driveways, so we have to park on the street. My neighbor has a handicapped person, and they're forever telling everyone not to park in front of their house because they have to get this handicapped person in and out. Now, is there anything they can do? Can they paint their curb blue or something, or the city, or?
They cannot. There is a process to request those through the city, but to be honest with you, even though you don't have driveways in the front, people do have garages. There is an assessment that's done. People can't restrict parking either by telling you or painting their own curb because it's a city property. There is a method there. There's a whole formula that we go through for approval of those things. I'll be honest with you, in most cases, those don't meet the criteria because people have garages. People have access that's there. People would expect, okay, you're going to use them. I can think of a few spots that we have them in single family residence neighborhoods. The flip side of that, even if we put a blue curb there with a sign, it's not for that person. It's for anybody that's handicapped that can park there. But then, you know, everybody loses that availability of that spot too. And sometimes blocking a spot there, and if people don't park and, you know what I mean, then they don't pull up, it may cause the loss of more than one spot. Because sometimes when people, you know, not everybody, there's no lines in the road to park, so people don't always park that way. So it's something that I tell people, you know, consider carefully. Because even if we do put one there, if there happens to be another handicapped person, maybe even somebody that illegitimately got it, and they decide they're going to use it, now what happens? Now you got somebody else beating you to that spot all the time, and now you not only do you not have the spot in front of your house, you're walking even farther than you were before. So
yeah, well, they bug me all the time to move the cars, but sometimes they're not my cars.
Are they the ones that put the cones out in the road that walk on the spaces?
No.
Is that legal to put cones in front of your house to save the
place? But she's not the door at all times. Can you move that car? Not my car, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, there's very limited parking.
It's
one house that has like 10 cars.
Yeah.
That's tough. I would be more concerned with a house that has too many cars because many times that means garage conversions or something else like that negatively impacts people. I'm not, you know, encouraging people to have bad relations with their neighbors, but let's face it, those kinds of things really impact things like parking, people's quality of life, you know, sometimes the noise levels. and everything else that come along with it is a thing. And if you want to be anonymous, you can report those things if you think something like that's going on. But most families don't have 10 cars, or, you know, maybe it's a slight exaggeration, maybe it's not. I've seen houses with that many cars where maybe they have their extended family there, kids. Some people own quite a few cars and then they just leave them sitting on the road and don't move them, and or they just shuffle them when the street sweeper comes,
exactly.
And that's it.
That's what this one house
yes.
does. They
so,
move around their cars.
Does anybody here live on 154th near this corner of Perchy and 154th?
It's by 150.
Okay.
It's by Banker and Marie.
Because there's a two-story house that has three separate families and about 12 people living in it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
Lord.
They're going to build another one next to it.
No.
Yeah. So, anyway. So that impacts when you have that many people living in one house.
Yeah.
And all these cars are coming onto the streets, and then they're shuffling because of street cleaning days.
It is.
And some of the cars are stretches.
Are what?
Stretches.
Longer cars.
Limousines, stretch limos are in the area. RVs are always a big problem.
Well, there's an RV that parks there on the bridge.
Right.
The next block.
And that guy gets tickets constantly.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys know there's a new RV ordinance that was enacted?
No.
What's that? I'm not saying it's going to solve all the problems, but it really empowers the residents to have their RVs there, but it prevents other people. We've been, RVs have long been a sore spot for people. Sometimes it really is their neighbor, but what we've been impacted by is surrounding cities banning the parking of RVs, and our city is one that doesn't currently restrict them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had an influx of RVs coming from other cities in there, and so... the powers to be thought that it would be important to protect the citizens' rights to park their own RVs, have them get a permit. The permit doesn't cost anything, but it really will help to eliminate outside RVs or people coming. You can have a guest. There's a certain procedure to follow, but it will help eliminate some of these RVs that we have. Many times they're not always in residential neighborhoods, but in some of our commercial areas, we have them camping out for long periods of times, and there's issues with that. But so the signage is in the planning process. The ordinance is already passed. We haven't started enforcement on it or anything like that. But if you happen to have an RV that's a problem, with where they're supposed to park in front of their own house, whenever permissible, they're not supposed to be parking it in other places. So it may help in some cases, but again, I can't promise you it's going to solve everybody's problems if you have a problem with an RV.
You can always go to Walmart. They let you park there for free. For as long as you want to.
Really?
Yeah.
He helps. You can stay there too.
Any other traffic? I'm sorry I've taken up so much of your time, but any other questions?
No.
Very interesting.
Thank you.
Let me give my number in case any of you, if you have a traffic specific thing, or you want me just to. Oh, you know what? Not with me. Sorry. I left that part of my...
I did bring a pen.
I have a pen if anyone wants tomorrow.
Thank you.
It's
310-217-6183.
6183. It's
Heitmeier,
H-E... Common spelling.
So if you have any problems, that's who you call from now on.
That's my presentation to you and for me. Now what are you bringing? Speed dial to my house.
Yeah, I'm going to speed dial my house, but that's okay. I signed up.
Thank you.
The best thing would be try to leave complete information. Again, because some of my other activity, I'm like this weekend, I work Friday night, Saturday night. We have a checkpoint Friday night, and then we have this weekend is St. Patrick's, so I work Saturday night and Sunday night. So sometimes my hours are all over the place.
Tell us where you can be so we can avoid the streets coming by.
All over.
Intoxicated.
I'll be looking for the best corned beef and cabbage around, so if anybody has any, I'll stop by and say hello. But other than that, please, if you think there's something I can help with, please give me a call. I can't make any promises, especially for some things, but if you need some directed enforcement, or if eventually when we get our radar trailer, if you'd like some of those things, my lieutenant, we've just changed, is Lieutenant Prendergast. But if you call me, I can, if it's not something I can handle, I can shoot it somewhere else. If you just want to leave me a request, just leave as much information as you can. And your name and phone number if you really need me to call you back. But usually it's best if you just say, hey, I'm having a problem with this. Can somebody check on it? But you should still use the regular dispatch number for stuff that's occurring now or an emergency. Again, many times I'm not able to answer the phone at my desk for one reason or another. Please, I encourage you to use the regular dispatch number or call patrol directly if it's something that you need somebody out for, in a timely manner. Otherwise, if it's a longer-term project or something like that, you can give me a call because it often takes me a day or so to get with all the phone calls and emails and stuff like that. But thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Now, when you come back when we're out in the backyard, which is
what it says. That one was on the
phone. I'll ask you privately. Okay.
Thank you again. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry I've been so long.
Thank you.
Okay, the meeting's over now. Payback is, well, never mind. Oh, no. It's recording.
That's beginning now.
Hey, just real quick before James leaves, I'll just say a couple things. I've worked with James a lot over the last few years in various details. I'm going to tell you something. He came into traffic with absolutely about this much experience. And they pulled him in and said, hey, we want you to take over traffic as a sergeant. Here's all these grants we have, state grants, and we're going to roll with them. And I tell you, he's done a fantastic job. You heard his presentation tonight. Mm-hmm. He does a great job making sure all these things are set up. I do have some understanding because I did that for several years. And the thing now is the bean counters up in the state are really counting the beans these days. And it's very difficult. So he does a great job with what he has. And we're actually getting some new equipment to work with. And it's really for the community, make it a better place, because we had horrendous stats years ago for DUI. And I tell you, if this stuff went away, it would probably take us, what, maybe 30 days before we reverted right back to where we started from. So, but anyway, James, thanks for coming in. You did a great job. I appreciate it. And I'm sure everybody else here is just the knowledge is pouring out. What can I say? Thanks. All right, is he gone yet? I'll really tell you about him. No.
Now.
Wait,
he's worse
than. As he comes around the corner. But anyway, everybody having a good time? Everything's good?
Yeah.
All right, tonight we're going to play Stump the Police Officer. I want you to ask her, Karen, as many hard questions as you can, see if she knows the answers. So, I'm just going to go over a couple quick things, looking at crime in the area. I'll just toss it out here. There was a robbery back last month. We were off last month because of the election. Yes. You know, politics took us out of the game. But it was down in the Lomelli Shopping Center there, Ralph Shopping Center. Three Asian folks. I know at least one of them was here on vacation from Japan. I think they probably looked like pretty easy marks, as the tourists might go. And male white and female Hispanic pulled up in a blue Mercury Villager minivan, pulled out a gun, give me your wallets, watches, jewelry, you know, those phones, those types of things, and jacked them for all three. So,
which parking lot?
Ralph's.
Right
over
there?
Here. Yeah.
Do you have time for that, Mark? What time?
About 10, between 10 and 11 o'clock at night, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You were probably working.
That was my call.
You didn't catch him?
Was your call?
There's something to talk to her about later. All right. I was here, we would have had him in custody.
That's our officer. Yeah.
I'm sure I was doing a meeting somewhere.
Yeah, were they again?
No.
No.
We thought maybe Cola and the other girl, but they don't have a card in fifth
though.
So. Okay. So there was a residential burglary on Marine. And the homeowner was coming home as they were coming out. And so he went to get into it, and he ended up punching one of the suspects, ended up punching the victim in the side of the head, and took off. So, it's in the 2800 block. They're afraid of your area. They know about you.
Yeah.
crazy lady.
Crazy lady.
That's right. So, but it was jewelry, laptop, I think, and something else taken out of there. You know, the typical smaller stuff that they can get away with. Have you heard any more on that one? I have not. So, as far as suspects. So, before we move on, any questions regarding crime?
When will it stop?
When will it stop?
Yeah.
I can't answer that. We're being recorded.
Oh, no. You'll retire.
That's right. As soon as I retire, it'll be all gone.
Peace and quiet in Gardena.
That's right. I guess when everybody's a millionaire, and you know that isn't going to stop either, because when some folks have a little bit, they just want more and more and more and more. So, but if you had an interesting article, and I'll throw out to you in the Daily Breeze this morning, and I'd forgotten all about it. Apparently, there was this guy here years ago that was living up in the L.A. area somewhere, and he was claiming to be somebody he wasn't. And anyway, he's traveled all over the world in high society, affluent areas, was playing himself off to be a relative of the Rockefellers, mm-hmm. and everything else, but ended up chopping somebody up here.
Yeah,
and
San Marino.
We lived in L.A. Yeah, San Marino. And all kinds of, and I guess now it's just coming to trial. They've already made the movie about him, and all kinds. So I'm waiting to see where that's all going to go now. So, but kind of caught my attention as I was reading that, because that was probably about late 70s, I think, that all started, and now it's just finally they finally caught up with him. Yeah. So.
Is this the movie Catch Me If You Can?
No. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I never saw it. I just
movie about an imposter, Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, that's not
that. No, it's not that.
No, this guy, he thought he was posing as a Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, so it's in the Today's Paper, it's on Today's News, too.
Yeah
so, and if you looked at the guy, he did look like a little weasel, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like a little mole or a rat. And I, that's just my opinion, okay? What are you going to say? But,
some people don't have mirrors, I guess.
Yeah, true. Or they don't want mirrors.
Probably
so,
not, yeah.
Let's see. She already talked about coffee with a cop. So I'll be there. That's on March 16th. So I'll probably still be in my PJs. It's from 8 to 10 on a Saturday.
Which
so. 1419 Redondo Beach Boulevard, Redondo, Normandy.
By the post office? That's
yes,
that's
exactly. Right next to the post office. So I'll be there. Don't worry. If you've never been to that one, you're worried about it, don't worry. They'll all be full of cops. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just don't turn left. And
just buy them a donut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, talk about cameras are all up. Our cameras are all up now in the locations, and they're all working. And now the focus will be for private partnerships, businesses to buy in and come in with that program. So the other thing we're looking at is how we're going to staff that full time with somebody to watch the cameras and try to keep their attention. So. But we've had some, I've told you about some of the success stories we've had with the cameras, and I'm sure there'll be more to follow. So now that we're all up and running.
Who can apply for that position? You have to be an officer to apply for that position?
Well, we're going
to
look for somebody, and this is just my opinion, that has either was a really good criminal, or they're a cop and they know what they're looking for.
I play video games 8, 10, 12 hours a day.
Yeah, but we're not after Angry Birds. So, we can't do that. No, but it would have to be somebody has some knowledge of what to look for so they know what it is when they see it and can direct us in on it. So, we're going to have a business community forum May 13th. I'll bring that up again, where we try to get our business involved. Obviously, we talk about Neighborhood Watch. We have our community forum, and we do a great job with the community. It's very tough working with the businesses, and I get it. How do I get you own a business? How do I get you in when you're supposed to be running your business, right? Especially the smaller ones. So we're gonna work on that and see if we can make some progress with that this year and start building with the business very similar to what we've been doing here with the community as a whole. In your neighborhood, the bus garage, 154th and Van Ness, kind of your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were a couple different options that we're going to go with that. One of those options is going to be the flexible flyer people. We're going to use it to possibly to lease it for 2 to 3 years to actually renovate and buses, and then before they sent them off to auction land and sell them, whatever they were going to do. But that property wasn't big enough for them, so we're going to plan two, and that is we're going to be getting bids to demo it. And we're going to get that thing demoed. There's no developer on board yet, but eventually they'll put that out for some sort of developer to come in. And what you're going to see and what the plans are at this time, is that it would look something like we talked about before, like 157th and Van Ness with the kind of the, I guess you call those townhomes or the, mm-hmm. But they're, you know, the houses are connected, but they're actual single family houses, and it'll be a nice looking deal. No 15 story apartment buildings with a payday, advance below or anything. But yes, city owns the property. Yeah. And there's no way the National Guard doesn't want to give up the lease on the rest of that. You know, they'd love to just do that all at once, but they're not going to do that. So, the property, actually two properties. You've got the 155th and spinning property there on the corner with the SS Minnow in the backyard. And had the old car on the front yard, that place there. That's actually in abatement, in the abatement process now. The paperwork's got out. The city attorney's on that. We're working on that. The other house with the wood fence around it over here on 157th Street, we just entered the abatement process with that. And we'll be going after them through the courts civilly. And that guy, we tried to play nice and he just didn't want to play nice. So we've started the abatement process. And then the longhouse. The one with the green fence around it, kind of over there, that's kind of slowed down for a little bit. We got them out, got it cleaned up, and then sold it, and it slowed down. But the plans are actually in plan check right now. So as soon as those plans come out of plan check, they're going to start construction on that and get that all cleaned up and make it as a whole property again. So three locations that will hopefully we'll start seeing a difference in there. So. And I told you, it's not a fast process when we have to deal with these folks. The civil process is a slow process. So, but now that we've pushed and we've finally gotten it in the system, things should start to pick up a little bit. So, questions?
I have a question.
Hey, you're not even from around here, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I'm a real estate agent, and we're starting to invest in properties like that, distressed properties, and fixing them. What we're planning on doing eventually is if we get a house, maybe if we could get it's vacant, and it's been vacant, get like a neighborhood watch meeting with the local police, maybe not Gardena, wherever, to let the neighbors know this is vacant, can you keep an eye out on it while we're working on it, and...
Yeah, I mean...
Kind of like choose your neighbor type thing, too.
You know, we do this all the time, especially with fumigation. You know, I hear about the fumigations instead of through the proper process. I get more from Char and the folks in here. I'll call in and just go, hey, just so you know, was I walking this morning? Or I'll get an email, the house is being fumigated over here. And they'll dump an address on me, and I'll put it in, and we'll keep an eye on it. So, absolutely, that's the easy stuff to do. So, and I think we do a pretty good job on it. How was your house? Anybody get in there while you were gone?
Yeah, the policeman.
Yeah, you probably had a card or two over there, didn't you?
16 times.
Yeah, so.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, he was gone for like ever. He goes to Hawaii and parties with young chicks, for several months at a time during the wintertime.
You know, the neighbors were concerned.
No, because the police kept showing up?
Showing up, they think that you're gonna shoot them.
Too much paperwork, trust me. So, but that just the district officer is great about going by and checking up on these places. So, and like I say, fumigations. I always like it better when I actually get to talk to the homeowner that's actually having the process done. Because one of the biggest questions I always ask them is, hey, you care if we come on your property? Do you care if we're, checking the house out at the time? Because some of what we just find from the outside, I'm a little reluctant. We'll come by and check it, but how long are we going to check it? But I don't know if the owner's actually sleeping in the backyard. Now we wrestle him up. We don't know who's who. Something bad happens, and what were they doing here? So it's always better if, we get that expressed permission to be on the property and do what we need to do. So, but questions? Statements? Charlotte?
I'm not allowed to talk.
Well, there's a reason for that. We've told you this before. We're glad you come back. You're doing a great job. Shh, shh, shh. Don't acknowledge. I love you, Mike. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Last time I was here, it's been a while. Madrano was here, and I see he was on Nightlife or Nightline.
It wasn't Nightlife. That's a totally different show. You have to pay extra for that show.
Okay. All right. I saw him on there.
Taxi confessions.
He's a star now. He doesn't come to these events.
You know what? No, he was. Yeah.
And the outdoor.
Yeah, the potluck. He was here. Yeah. Yeah,
we. That was cool to see him on there.
Yeah, that, I think that was our. Was that our perfume case that we were?
It was when the shoplifters steal in there. So
yeah, the perfume. Yeah, the Erebus thieves. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, it there's a million different things going out there. I give an example. If you watch the news this morning, they went to a some sort of party call or something, and they turned out it was a. It was a whorehouse being run by gang members. So, you know, it just, yeah, an apartment building. Yeah, woohoo! So, but they just, there's so many different things that can be going on. And that's why the involvement's so important, that people are watching out. If things aren't looking right, things are looking different, you got to give us a call. Because they go out, and I was watching a couple of interviews with the neighbors. We knew something was going on there, but we just didn't know what it was, so we didn't call, you know. And, you know, that's always the joke I kind of make is, you know, you look at any of these, you know, these guys that go out, the Jeffrey Dahmers or whoever they are, and they're like, oh, my, he just seemed like a nice guy. He was always quiet, kept to himself, always said hi. I go, man, if that guy's living next door to you, you better call us right away, okay? You know, but if something's just unusual and different, you got to give us a call and so we can check it out. So, you have anything for him?
No, just back to your about the schools. So I'm coming from being on days for the entire last year, and basically as long as it permits, each officer takes a school every morning, and like I was always at 153rd Street School. I'll be back there again starting in April, and from about 7:30 to 8:30, just enforcement, people running stop signs in the morning, kids are walking to school, people. Blocking driveways because they'll park across the driveways, violations against pedestrians crossing the street, anything and everything that we see around the school. So generally, there's somebody at every school in the mornings. And then afternoons, if we can get back there. Afternoons are a little busier, but if we can get back there when kids are getting picked up, we'll be around there for about an hour during enforcement at that time as well.
You know what's concerning to me, because I live in front of 153rd, is that on Marine, people are speeding. They're going 45, 50 miles an hour. And sometimes kids do not use a light at anchor. They use the other light. And I'm afraid one day some kid's going to get there. I leave for work at 7. And I see those kids starting to come. They must go to the early breakfast or something. And I see them and the cars are just zooming by. It's just horrible.
Did you tell Sergeant Heitmeyer that, Norma?
Give me his number, I'll call him.
Yeah, well, get on it. No, we'll...
He gave us his number.
Yeah.
We have.
Yeah. And that's one thing he talked about, a radar trailer, which is really a calming device, and they actually work very well. And, I mean, it gets people's attention when, you know, you come down the hill at, you know, 110, and it's flashing 110 when the speed limit's 30. It gets your attention, and you slow down. So, the ones we had were back, I think, from the mid to late 90s when I was in traffic. We had those, and they were unrepairable. Couldn't find parts for them anymore. So, but they might make a nice camper for a little person or something. But other than that, no use for us these days. So,
is there anything that could be worked out with LAUSD to have traffic or not traffic people that go out, the crossing guards?
Mm-hmm. They don't do
that's
that.
Volunteer. But they have encourage LAUSD. These are our issues at our school.
It's not an LAUSD will not tackle that. They have their own police department. They'll send us motors or officer to each of the schools. But here again, their motors may, it's not just, it's the Gardena area. It's
right,
not the specific
right.
school that they're set for. And they do not do crossing guards. So, and you know, I tell you, there's a couple different philosophies regarding that. I know with kids, you know, with crossing guards, or whether you have lights or you have crosswalks in the street, and you know, even with the crosswalks, I'll be honest with you, actually the safer intersections are the ones that don't have crosswalks most of the time. And that's because people are more careful when they cross there. When there's a crosswalk there, a lot of people, got a crosswalk. It's good to go. And they're stepping right off in the crosswalk. And I've yet to see that painted line stop a 3,500-pound car. It's moving at 80 feet per second. It doesn't work that way. So whereas when there's nothing, people are much more alert and paying attention. And I know, and I can tell you, I know I am for sure. So, and... And here again, you want to take the Mark Rickrell study and watch how people drive is, and just check yourself sometimes. And when you come up to the intersection and you're getting ready to make the right-hand turn, what direction are you really looking when you make your right-hand turn? I bet you everybody's looking this way. I don't get it, because why are you looking that way if you're driving that way, right? So the other thing people very seldom, and I guarantee you they very seldom do it, is how many of them really check their passenger side mirror, give that glance over the shoulder to the right to see the bicyclist that may be coming up off that right-hand side or the jogger before they start that turn, right? They don't do it, you know? And I guess I'm fortunate a lot of ways for all the years I rode motorcycle, you know, it was all ahead, you know? I wanted to make eye contact, I wanted to be visually sure, because it was very painful when I wasn't. So, you know, I wanted to make sure it was. But just stand on a busy street corner. All you got to do is stand out 2 minutes and watch it. And you'll see everybody look in the absolute opposite direction that they're driving. So, with that, I put a couple extra papers up here. There's one up there that talks about the Do Not Call Registry. It's got the Equifax, Experian, TransUnion numbers on there. Should you have any problems or questions? There's also a question number. If you have questions, you can call those folks and ask them. If we need more, I can bring more. I was just sitting here thinking about it, but there's always some sort of fraud going on someplace that I hear about. It's such a proliferation of it right now. So the millions of dollars that are billions of dollars are lost every year. We don't even go after them. You know, bottom line is, and give me an example, is they call up, you know, Mr. Rickrell, yes, were you in Texas buying gas? You know, somebody just charged $227 to your credit card. I'm like, sweet Jesus, I'm sitting in my office in Gardena. How can I be out in Texas? All right, we'll take care of that for you right away. Well, we couldn't find out who it is, but here's your new car. Thank you. And we took that charge off of it. Well, it's just $227 more they write off.
Yep.
So, and nothing's being done. So, there's just so much of that going on. So, look those over. Those are great numbers. You know, if you have questions, I'll try to answer some of them next meeting if you have any. But look that over. You can always call them and ask them questions, you know, and see what they have to say.
Which construction company is permitted by the city of
Gardena? None.
Because these guys come by almost every month, and I think they're released gang members. They've got cops.
Most of them.
Heads, and they're in orange shirts.
Yeah, that's the, what are they, Charlotte knows, Pacific?
Pacific
Construction.
Yeah. Are they permitted? Because they just come by constantly.
They are permitted, but I don't think they're permitted to drop flyers, but not to
solicit.
Solicit.
Yes. What's the difference?
Wow.
Well, one's talking, one isn't. So, but
call the police if they come to your door.
Bottom line, I told you, even if they're permitted, call us, because we're going to stop them. We're going to say, let me see your permits. Let me see your ID. We're going to check them out. If they have warrants or they're on parole or whatever, we're going to be able to document this. We've identified who they are. So if they're up to no good, hopefully that's going to be the deterrent that's going to keep them from doing anything, because we've now ID'd them. And I'm sure I'd be thinking, oh, they're going to be coming looking for me. So let us know. Okay. Thank you for letting me come here again this month. Thank you very much.
Mark, you're in the